When I was a little girl, I used to go to Sunday school in the Anglican Church. And one of the songs that we used to sing, and some of you might know it, so if you do, sing it with me. That came with actions too, but I don't remember all of them. But it was, "The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Well, the rain came down and the floods went up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up, and the house upon the rock stood firm." And then there would be a second verse. And it was, "The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down and the floods came up. And the rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up, and the house upon the sand fell flat." And of course, that was the best part, because we all landed on the floor as hard as we could. Some of you know that song, a few of you seem to. It's pretty easy to get the idea. The song refers to a parable that Jesus told at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And it's considered really one of Jesus' longest teaching dissertation, like his longest sermon. And his words, and I'll read them to you, but you got it in the song anyway. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Almost word for word, that song. And what do we see if we look at that passage? We see this image of a house, perhaps by the seaside somewhere, but not necessarily. And we see the wind and the rain hitting up against the house. And depending on the foundation of that house, it either will crumble or it will stand resilient. And of course, we're not talking about a house. We're talking about us and our life. And there are times when the winds and the rain and the floods knock against our house. Notice, Jesus didn't say if the rain came down and the floods came up. It was when. Because we're all part of life. So we all have these experiences, thankfully, hopefully, not too often and not too intensely, but they happen. It's part of our human experience. And so Jesus didn't say, go pray somewhere and then nothing bad will happen to you. which I think is really important for us even to recognize, you know, that there's no what did I do to deserve this. This includes all of it. It's all included. That could be another talk title one day. But what he's saying is that when it feels as if there's the rain of misfortune dumping on you, or you're feeling flooded and overwhelmed, or it just feels like it's one thing after another that is buffeting and hitting your sense of well-being, then it makes sense to have a strong foundation so that these experiences don't crumble you. And as I was writing and thinking about this story, another story popped into my head. So story number two, you're going to get three stories today. The next story is about the three little pigs. Remember the three little piggies when we were a kid? And Mommy Pig didn't have enough to support them, so she sent them out to find their fortune. And the first little pig goes for a walk, and he realizes he needs shelter, and so he decides he's got to build a house, and he sees a person coming along who has a bunch of straw. And he thinks, yes, I can build my house with that. And he builds the house with straw. And the wolf comes along. Little pig, let me come in. No, no, by my chinny chin chin, I won't let you in. And the wolf huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. Interesting how that huff and puff is still there, that wind analogy. And of course, he has pork for breakfast. Sorry, I know. So the wolf eats the pig. How about that? How's that for a nicer way of saying it? Meanwhile, the second little pig takes a little longer. He's a little bit more deliberate. And he comes across a man who is carrying sticks. And he thinks, oh, that may be strong enough. And so he takes those sticks and creates a little house for himself that he thinks he's going to be sheltered from the storms of life in. And sure enough, the wolf comes to the door and says, let me in. No, no, not by the hairs of my chinny chin chin, I won't let you in. And the wolf huffs and he puffs. And it doesn't do anything. And he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs. And finally, he blows down the house and he eats the pig.
Pork chops.
Pork chops. And then meanwhile, the third pig takes a little longer. And he appears to be a little bit more deliberate. And he comes across a man who is selling bricks. And he says, I'm going to build my house with bricks. And so he builds the house with bricks. And sure enough, the wolf comes along. Let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the wolf blows and blows and blows and blows and blows and huffs and puffs and puffs and huffs and huffs and puffs. And nothing gets through. So I have these two images. The one of this house from Jesus' story that is built on a rock. And I have this other image of these little piggies with their three little houses, one built with brick. And really, in many ways, it's the same story, isn't it? It's the story of how to handle life when the wolf is at the door, when stuff happens, Of course, that story about the pigs offers some insight about how we can build resilience. Choose bricks rather than straw, rather than sticks, rather than sand. So that makes sense, that we can all kind of understand and picture this house that is strong and can withstand things. But what does that mean for us? Well, let's think of our five principles at Unity. They are: there is only one power. When I put it in my birthday song, that's one universal power. It'll be in a card in your welcome packets, those five principles. So there's only one power affecting all of us, interacting with all of us. The wind came down, the rain came down, the sun, whatever it is, floods came up, the sun shines on the good and the bad. That's in another chapter, another verse. There's one power. Doesn't matter if you're good, you're bad, you're atheist, you're agnostic, you're right-wing Christian, you're Jewish, Muslim, any, it doesn't matter. There's one power. The second principle we have is that it is an interconnected power, that we are all part of that power. So if there's no spot that God is not, includes us. So these are the two foundational principles that we work from. And then because we are part of an energy, that we are part of a creative energy, that means that we also have access to creative and formative energy. And that is principle number three. In my birthday song, it's one universal power, a network of all. Ideas lead to experiences. The ideas that we hold about something will help us to define how we experience it. Another way of thinking of it is, it's the thought that counts. And how we think about something matters. Then the fourth one is, take time to be still. And the last one is, you'll live in peace. And now I'm going to invite you to take those last three, the thinking, taking time to be still, and living in peace. And I want you to flip them backwards. And when you do that, you have a pathway that will help to reconnect with the first two principles. And I know that sounds really complicated. So let me, it may also be in your cards now that I think about it. I think two verses are on there. So the first one is the five principles. The last verse in your card is, when peace isn't there, take time to be still and question your thinking. What other idea could add more peace? We have a roadmap, if we do that, for how to build a strong foundation. We see in the stories that there is a storm a-coming. Rain's coming down, flood's coming up, wolf at your door, peace is not there. So we take time to be still. We take time to respond, to think things out, to discern. Think of that third little piggy who built his house on the brick. Didn't do it right away. He waited. He was deliberate. He took time, thought things through. Often, though, when we are in the face of a storm, we want the comfort of a quick answer. And sometimes that answer is built on the sand. It won't withstand the wolf at the door. It won't withstand the buffeting of the wind. So, when we are in a place where something is disturbing us in some way, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to take time. Before you react, before you make a decision, before you go to the quick solution, which may have an undesirable longer-term effect, think it through. And then question the thinking that is causing the upset. Viktor Frankl reminds us in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, that we have the power to create our own freedom. He says this: everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the ability to choose. Know, though, that our human default is to choose the easier way, to find a quick solution that'll make us feel better, because it feels uncomfortable when the wind is blowing at us and the wolf is at the door and the rain is coming and the flood is rising and all you want to do is find comfort and relief, then it's easy and a natural human response to find the quick answer and apply the quick answer. Earlier in the same chapter, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. When peace isn't there, our tendency is to want to slap a Band-Aid on it. Instead, take time to be still. Question your thinking. Refuse the easy way out, especially if it violates your values. And we see this sometimes when we don't speak up or we know something isn't ethical, but we go along with it anyway because we don't want to create waves. We see it in our world all the time, where it's so easy to slap a label on a group of people and paint that whole group with the same brush, even though it may just be a few people within that group who have done something that we consider reprehensible. Notice the band-aid. Take time to be still, to question whether it's really true. We see it in this whole fake news things. Did you see this about Taylor Swift last week? That through AI, there were videos of her going viral that had nothing to do with her. Now, we could jump to, oh my goodness, Taylor Swift has no control, no morals, or whatever it was. Take time to be still, question your thinking, discern. If it doesn't feel like the person, maybe it isn't. And isn't it unfortunate that now in our technological age, we have to be that much more discerning? And the problem, of course, with that in our world is that it erodes our trust in institutions, the news, the things that we see that we assume are true, which may no longer be true. And I don't remember who said this, but I wrote it down. I quote anonymous, "Authoritarian regimes flourish when trust in institutions is eroded." Something to guard against. Stick with our values. In our lives, so that's the world. In our lives, we see the rain come down, the floods came up, the wolf at the door, the wind knocking us sideways in so many ways in our lives at times. We may have a job loss. Someone who we care about deeply passes away. We have an unwelcome diagnosis. A relationship breaks down, or somehow something happens that shakes our sense of security. Notice your tendency when these things happen to want the quick answer, because we want the relief of the quick answer. And these include things like, this is good, this is bad, this needs to be fixed, should. Emma Curtis Hopkins was considered the co-founder of the New Thought movement. She was born in the mid-1800s. And the founders of Unity, Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, were students of Emma Curtis Hopkins. And she said, whenever this kind of feeling of, why is this happening to me? This is all bad. Whenever that happens, say to yourself, this too is good. This too is God. This too is for me. And I demand to see the blessing in it. Think back to the worst thing that happened to you in your life. And part of it will be really painful. But if you question your thinking and demand to see a blessing in it, you will discover that there is something about that experience that helped to form who you are now in a positive way. Maybe it catapulted you into doing some work in the community. Maybe it catapulted you into a resolution that you will never be that kind of parent. Maybe, as I saw yesterday at a movie about medical assistance in dying, It will catapult you into writing to the Prime Minister and hundreds of friends and family to get the law changed. Demand to see the blessing in it. And finally, when someone calls you a name, and it's like a wolf at your door, or the wind, or the saying is that the wind gets taken out of your sails, then remember who you are, and that is one opinion. And my third story, my last story today, was something I saw last week on the news, and it was two 7-year-olds in the United States, one comforting the other. This little girl had been playing on the playground, and some boy, called her dumb. And she got really upset and crying, and you could see that the teacher at some point had been trying to comfort her. And then one of her little schoolmates came up to her, and he said this: "Don't listen to that guy that called you dumb." And if you see the video, you'll hear this even better. He says, "Listen to yourself." And he puts his hand on his heart. Then he says, "Just stop talking to people that call you dumb." And then he says, "Look, you're smart." She hugs him, and they go off to play. And here is an example of one final idea that I leave you with in terms of building your house on a rock. Take time. Question your thinking and be discerning. And know that there are times it's still going to hurt. And be a friend to yourself. And allow another part of you to be like that little boy that reminds you that you don't need to listen. That you don't need to talk to that voice. And then the affirmation that she was longing to hear: "You're smart." And she says to him as she hugs him, "You're such a nice friend." When the rains come down, the floods come up, the wind blows, the wolf is at your door, take time to be still. Find the values that matter. Question your thinking. And be a good friend to yourself and to the people around you. That way, nothing will ever impair your freedom. I bless you.